Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. February in the United States is set aside as Black History Month, a month where schools across the United States study the impact, influence, and continued struggles of African Americans. As a trained history teacher, I'm always looking for opportunities to excite others about the magic of understanding our past. So this week, I wanted to dedicate an episode to getting you thinking about your leadership, your mindset, and how you can shift the direction of someone by your actions, and maybe, as a result of a simple little bit of you being you, the other people can change the world. I often marvel at the success we admire in others. A few years ago, when I was a middle school principal, I was approached by a reporter who stuck their recorder in my face, and she was looking for a playful twist on a current event. You see, the Wisconsin Badgers football team at the time was heading to the Rose Bowl, and she wanted to know my thoughts. She thought it was cute because my school was Badger Middle School. Get it? So she said, "What is the principal of the Badgers thinking about the Friday before the Badgers play in the Rose Bowl?" I think my answer set her back a little bit. I said, "Well, I'm thinking of all those young men's teachers and classmates and relatives. The people who set the tone for their success. The people who will sit proudly on their couches and point out a neighbor, a nephew, a friend, a former student, a kid they had in third grade. All the people who stand behind them and their success who deserve the credit for helping those young players get to the pinnacle of football." You see, behind everyone is an army of influencers. People who, by design or by accident, influence us and make a difference. There is no champion who did it by themselves, and there are no true firsts in history. And that's what I want to talk with you about today. There may be someone who's credited at being the first to accomplish something, but there are always influencers building and investing in another person so that on the day a first occurs, there are a whole bunch of people who stand back and knew that that was going to happen, that knew that that person, that team, that group, that inventor, that they could do it. Now, a few reminders. A leader is anyone who has influence over another person, making us all leaders. And a leader's mindset is that of a buffalo who charges optimistically into the storms we are facing with a constant belief that they're going to get through it. Kids are people we often look past. Kids are people we tend not to have a lot of tolerance for, that we often believe to be innocently ignorant, slightly arrogant, and unable to see beyond their noses, which is often true of not kids, but a lot of people. We just tend to not have a lot of acceptance for challenges from younger people that can't prove their wisdom to us. We also tend not to give kids a lot of credit. It's difficult to find famous kids in history books, mostly because kids haven't been taken very seriously by any cultures over any century. However, revolutions can be started by the actions and influence of one and the interpretations and intentions of another. This is why each day we're obligated to be our best, to create the conditions so that others can learn and grow, and ultimately so that the kids don't aspire to be something, but to actually be something. Buckle up. We're going to get to a brief history lesson, and I want you to think about what you know and how you use your knowledge to advocate for others. So here's the date, March 2nd, 1955. The place, Montgomery, Alabama. The scene, a bus. In 1955, the Deep South was governed by written law and traditional law. An African American was not allowed to sit at the front of the bus. An African American could not dine where they pleased. An African American could not use the front door of a theater. An African American could not attend any public school they wanted to. An African American was not allowed many basic freedoms that were bestowed upon whites living in the South at the time. Frankly, it wasn't much better in the North, but it was far worse in the South in the 1950s. So a young woman got on the bus, and she was sitting in a row that, if unoccupied, she could stay in. However, if a white person got on the bus, she would have to get out of that row and find a seat in the back. Many times, African Americans had to also enter the bus in the rear as to avoid being near a white person. So this young woman was sitting there, and a white woman paid her fare, walked down the aisle, and stood over the young black woman and said she was going to sit in that row. The young black woman said, "I'm not moving." The driver said, "If you don't move, I'm calling the police." Now, for context, this is a serious offense on many levels, legal, traditional, and social. Remember, this is an era where lynchings were not prosecuted with frequency, and many African Americans lived in a great fear of not only the law, but citizen groups that enforced traditional laws and white social guidelines. So this is a huge moment. The young woman sat there defiantly until two white police officers came onto the bus, dragged her off, handcuffed her, began to harass her by making fun of her body and her looks in front of others, and then they hauled her off to jail, and she sat in a jail cell crying once she realized just how far she had gone in the racially charged world of Montgomery, Alabama. So who is this brave young woman? Well, everyone hears the story and immediately thinks Rosa Parks, a brave woman who refused to move, and as a result of her actions, a boycott of the buses began. This boycott started a practice throughout the South of African Americans using their economic influence to peacefully resist white oppression and begin the conversations and actions needed to slowly, painfully slowly, shift the segregated practices of the South. Rosa Parks is a hero, and celebrated often across the United States for her bravery, her initiative, and her desire to make a difference. December 1st, 1955 set in motion a significant shift in the United States, and Parks is everywhere during African American History Month. She's been celebrated at the highest levels in the United States. She's been on a postage stamp. There are tons of books and posters that memorialize her, and she has a statue in the Hall of Statues at the United States Capitol. She is a remarkable woman, and in 1955, at 42 years old, she demonstrated great bravery. But the story I just told you wasn't about Rosa Parks. It was about a kid who, 9 months before Rosa Parks even got on the bus, 9 months before, this young woman was arrested for an act of peaceful resistance, harassed, and thrown in jail at the age of 15. I'm talking about a high schooler named Claudette Colvin. She is one of my favorite footnotes in the history of the civil rights movement of the 1950s. Literally, I found her as a footnote in a book I was reading once about the civil rights movement, and I went to the back of the book, read a little bit about her, and then researched her and fell in love. She was a young Buffalo that day. She was on that bus with three other friends, and when the white woman got on the bus, her friends did what they always did without thinking. They got up and moved, because that was the tradition and the law. But 15-year-old Claudette, well, she was having none of it. Here is Claudette in her own words from an interview on NPR in 2009. "All I remember is that I was not going to walk off the bus voluntarily," she said. It was Negro History Month, and at her school, they had been studying black leaders like Harriet Tubman, the runaway slave who led more than 70 slaves to freedom through the network of safe houses known as the Underground Railroad. In her segregated school, they were also studying Sojourner Truth, a former slave who became an abolitionist and a woman's rights activist. The class had also been talking about the injustices they were experiencing daily under the Jim Crow segregation laws, like not being able to eat at a lunch counter. She talked about how we couldn't try on clothes. You had to take a brown paper bag and draw a diagram of your foot and take it to the store. Can you imagine all of that in my mind? My head was just too full of black history in the moment. You know, the oppression that we went through. It felt like Sojourner Truth was on one side pushing me down and Harriet Tubman was on the other side of me pushing me down. I couldn't get up. Colvin also remembers the moment the jail doors closed. It was just like a Western movie, she said. And then I got scared and panic overcame me and I started crying. Then I started saying the Lord's Prayer. Let's break this down a little bit to remind ourselves of a few things. This young girl, who on that date in 1955 showed incredible bravery, the kind that most adults don't show, shared a few interesting tidbits about why she decided on that day that she, at the age of 15, had had enough. It was the influence of her school and her teachers, her ability to see that there was injustice around her, her willingness to stand up for herself, her decision to be strong and brave in the moment. Where did it start? At school, with her discussing the world around her. Claudette realizing that she should not have to draw a picture of her foot in order to buy a pair of shoes and try them on, and that there was a process in place to study and appreciate Black history. Behind every spark, there is a small collision that creates that flash. Claudette was the spark of her education, her teachers, her classmates, and her conditions smashing together in her young mind. Like she said, she felt like the weight of two great women before her was holding her down. She's not a hero in the traditional sense. She was instead the first woman to sit down and not take it. Claudette is a revolutionary young woman in a high school sophomore's body, and she is so because she was influenced by facts and knowledge and injustice. And why? Because a leader in her life made it so. A leader in her life presented her with evidence for her to make her own choices. A leader who put a little giddy-up into a buffalo and allowed her to charge into the storm. There is a fantastic book about her called Claudette Clovis, Twice Towards Justice, where she in-depthly describes her life and her conditions and gives credit to the lessons from life and school that sparked the moment. It's Black History Month, and we are responsible for creating the conditions to support the inquiry of all minds so that we can each see what is occurring around us. Here's the deal. You matter. You matter because you have influence. You matter because at the end of the day, your actions could be the other side of a collision you had no idea was going to occur, and that could be the spark that changed the world. Claudette's decisions were highly influenced by a lot of leaders. Those leaders did not, at any moment, think to themselves, okay, well, it's 1955, and I'm going to do a lesson in my classroom that will empower a young student to stand up to racial injustice on the bus. That will lead the NAACP to look for another person to challenge busing segregation, and that will lead us to boycott the buses, and that will cause the local economy to begin to collapse, and that will lead white leaders to invite Black leaders to the table to discuss rolling back all the Jim Crow laws. That's not how it happens. No teacher did that. Instead, they likely said, okay, so we're going to put together a lesson to discuss historical Black figures in our history and in our classes, and then we'll connect their trials and tribulations to modern times so that it's relevant to the students in front of me. But sparks hit in different ways, and this spark hit Claudette and ignited her on that day. Claudette represents everyone in your life, every moment of the day. You never know how you'll change the direction of someone else, which is why we have to act in one way all the time. Optimistically charging into the storm in order to take on the challenges that face us and others. We lead by understanding that others are watching, that we have influence, and that we are constantly reflecting, and that we're being empathetic. Today, we celebrate the history of so many great historical people. But what about the kids? Claudette was 15. That's how old my daughter is. Can you imagine if your 15-year-old daughter set in motion a spark that changed the world? Well, if not, why not? Why can't we believe that an ordinary person can be extraordinary? We are leaders, after all. Everyone listening to me right now has influence, and you, yes, you, make a difference. The key is to treat every interaction as if it mattered. Because our influence on others will never be known. But we may find ourselves as a footnote in history because we were the ones that created the conditions for a spark. And that spark ignited a difference maker who mattered a lot. So let's do some smart thinking. List people who have influenced you in your life and leadership. Describe ways that influencing others can change the world. And describe how Claudette did change the world. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening, and please take a second to rate and share this podcast on your platform. Please also share this episode with others to help me help more people recognize their influence. Finally, thank you to the Well Pennies for their great music. As you head into your day, I want you to truly reflect on the importance of maintaining your optimism, of being your best for others, and how that can make a difference. Rosa Parks met Claudette Clovin. The Montgomery NAACP was well aware of Claudette's actions, and they decided that she may not be the best face of the movement, that they needed to go with someone else, Rosa. But I want you to think about this. Kids matter, and they can inspire if we just take the time to see them as leaders in their own right. It is the responsibility of leaders to propel and uplift everyone around them. And that is what Claudette did. She did something no one had done before. She looked segregation square in the eye as a 15-year-old young woman and said, "Nope, I'm not moving." Her actions moved the world. She wasn't a spark. She was a firework that brought attention to an opportunity to shift the ways of life that intentionally held down African Americans in the South. That, my friend, is Buffalo by design and intention. See it, charge at it, and believe that you can overcome any obstacle in your way, regardless of consequences. The only person in the world that is stopping you is you. So this week, be a leader. Buffalo into the storm. And remember that a kid from Montgomery, was influenced in schools, took action, and then influenced the world. Powerful stuff, and remarkable when you think that we all have the ability to influence the world. And that ability is found within ourselves. Well,